Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Raising a child is really expensive these days, really expensive. There is a lot to pay in terms of the needs, like the basics of, you know, food and clothing. And there is a lot to pay dependent on the wants of your kid and also your wants for your kid. So there's a lot of advice around this, a lot of pressure to spend money on certain things like birthday parties and technology and vacations and all that. How do you strike the balance here? Our next guest is Anita Bruinsma. She is a financial coach with Clarity Personal Finance, and she is the parent of two teenage boys. So she has the cred on these conversations. She recently wrote a piece for the Globe and Mail headlined Five Places Parents Can Cut Costs and the Kids Won't Even Notice. She joins us now to talk about her view and the kinds of questions that she asks of parents as we think about our children. So Anita, hello, welcome.
Thank you, Bruce. Nice to be here.
I have a 14-year-old. Your column struck me because of what you said about the kids not even noticing. And I think that's so great because when I reflect on the birthday parties that we hosted for my kid when they're like three or four, they didn't care. But I cared about what the other parents thought about the birthday party that I was hosting. So yes. How do you frame this question about what we should be spending our money on when it comes to our kids?
Well, as you say, Bruce, a lot of what we spend money on isn't so much driven by our children, but it's actually driven by our own feelings. And I think there are some things that contribute to that. So the first thing is, you know, when you have a baby, of course, that's super exciting, right? So you walk through Babies R Us and you want to buy all the stuff and you don't really know what you're going to need. And you have, you know, 9 months to buy all kinds of stuff. And so I think that's where it starts, is right away you have a new category of spending in your budget that you didn't have before. And it's very, very exciting. And then as your kids grow up, they keep reaching these new ages and stages where now you can buy them a tricycle and then you can buy them a skateboard and a bike. And then it's, you know, as you get teenagers, it's phones and laptops. And so there's always a reason to spend. And I think what you mentioned earlier about the competition to me is a really important component of this question. And so parents really need to ask themselves, why am I having those birthday parties, going on those vacations, buying my kids the super cute Nikes when they're babies? And I think a lot of it is that we feel like we see other parents doing it. And, you know, we want to be a good parent and we want other people to think we're good parents. And so you really need to ask yourself that question, who am I doing it for?
Your first topic in your article was around birthday parties. And I thought, yeah, I, if I had a do-over, I could have pulled back on that. The second one, though, is delaying vacations. And on that one, I feel like, wait a sec, that would be a sacrifice for me because I really enjoyed those vacations. So tell me how that works.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will ask you this question, Bruce. When you were on a plane with a two-year-old,
oh my God,
would you say that that's a sacrifice to give that up?
The plane ride for sure, but the arrival of the destination and being sleep deprived with sand and sun, that part was worth it. That mm-hmm. part was worth it.
Okay. So you feel that way. I'm not sure I necessarily felt that way. You know, I think some parents do it because they feel like they want to give their kids exposure to vacations. They want to share the joy that they've always felt with vacations. And also for some people, they feel it's educational. I'm going to bring my kids to see Paris, or they're going to see another culture and they're going to experience life. And I think that's great. Except if you were to ask your children if they remember any of your vacations under the age of five, I'm going to guess for sure they're not going to remember them.
None. They might remember their secondary experience of flipping through the photo album, but not
exactly
the primary memory of the vacation.
Which is important. I would agree. Sure. But, you know, in my experience, when I talk to my children about the vacations we've been on, anything before the age of nine, they're sort of like, I don't really remember that trip. But from nine onwards, to me, the golden age of traveling with your kids is like 9 to 15, because you can take them somewhere, they can absorb everything, they're a little more independent, your life is easier. And when you reflect on your vacations, for sure, they're going to remember those fun times. And honestly, if you take them somewhere educational, they're going to have learned something and they're going to have be exposed to another environment. So I really believe that, you know, if you want to do it for yourself, that's one thing. And let's face it, as we said at the beginning, a lot of these things we do for ourselves. And so as a parent, you would ask yourself, you know, is this really, really important to me that I go on vacation? Or is it okay that I leave the kid at home with a grandparent and we go on vacation?
Yes. Oh, yes. Your third point was about limiting the number of toys and books that you buy, which makes sense, again, if you park the emotion out of it. And what one of the traps that we have fallen into is this idea of volume. So on birthdays, on Christmases, it needs to look like a certain size when it comes to the number of things that they're unwrapping. How do you get around that?
So when I was growing up, I grew up in a four children family on one income. And we had one gift for Christmas. Mm. And if I think about the experience of my children who had a pile of gifts under the tree versus my experience of getting one gift, I'm not sure really it was that much different, because it's about the anticipation. It's about the experience of unwrapping it. It's the sitting together as a family and putting on the music and unwrapping your presents. Or for your birthday, it's the excitement of unwrapping it. So, you know, one of my tips would be make the experience of receiving the gift more exciting. You know, maybe it's a lot, you got to find the gift. Sometimes we've done things where we have questions and they have to go around the house finding it. And so they're only getting one gift, but it's actually really, really exciting. But I think part of the problem is that we've built up this expectation, and all the, you know, commercials show the Christmas tree that's got all these gifts under it. I just think if you moved your children away from that sort of thinking, especially at a young age, I'm not sure that they would miss it so much. And I think this is the key, Bruce, though, is like, I wish I'd known these things 17 years ago. I learned them as I went along. If a parent can understand, let's set the expectation from the beginning that we're not going to have a mound of gifts under the tree, then quite honestly, I think the kids won't even miss it.
Yeah. Don't get sucked into buying fancy kids' clothing was another one of yours. This one was easy for me because I am not a shopper. I don't care about the clothing. I was perfectly happy with hand-me-downs. But mm-hmm. for a lot of people, their self-concept is that it matters to them, not just what they look like, but what their kid looks like.
Definitely. And I was a shopper back then when my kids were little. And I love nothing more than looking at all the super cute clothes and imagining how adorable my child's going to look in them. And especially, you know, these days compared to when we were young, designer companies are now creating clothing for babies. So you can get the tiny Adidas shoes or the little Nike shoes, which quite honestly, Bruce, how many times are they going to wear them? Like three times before they grow out of them?
And they'll have kicked them off before.
And they've lost them. Yes, they're somewhere out down the street. So for sure, the hand-me-downs is one option, but even just thinking about the idea of like, what does a baby actually need? You know, they need comfy clothes that are easy to get off, easy to change, easy to wash. You might be doing more laundry if you have fewer clothes, but it's certainly going to be a lot easier. And the clothing swap is great. If there's someone in your neighborhood who has a kid who's, you know, 6 or 12 months older than yours, taking their hand-me-downs, I'm sure they'd love to get them off their plate. And that's something that I did a lot, especially with my relatives.
What would you say about the context for this conversation? Because I can imagine if your context for money is, we got all the money in the world, it's totally fine, we're saving for retirement, we're paying our mortgage, then have at her, do all those things. But that is not the circumstance for so many Canadians right now, because it is so, so difficult for people to make ends meet.
Absolutely. So if you have the money, and if it makes you happy to spend on those things, I say, fine. But, you know, the question you need to think about is, am I spending that money consciously, or am I just doing it without thinking? Because conscious spending is really the core of any sort of smart budgeting and smart planning. Because a budget is great, but what you really need to do is you need to believe in the budget, and you need to believe in how you're spending money and how it makes you happy. And so for those people for whom life is expensive and they don't have a lot of money floating around, it's looking at all those different items in your life and prioritizing them. Which things in my budget are going to make us really happy, and which things in our budget are, you know, we're not even noticing that we're spending it. It's not adding to our happiness. So where do we really want to funnel that money? And quite honestly, you know, not spending $400 on a birthday party is probably a really good place to start.
Yeah. Closer to six these days, I will say.
Six. Thank you.
Yeah, it's insane. So just before we go here, as a financial coach, you work with individuals and families, and you get right into the numbers here. This is a big word, but do you require that they put in a line item on kids' education, retirement savings, before they then look at what's discretionary that they can spend on the vacations and the clothes? I say require with air quotes, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. The way that I like to approach the budgeting is to start with all the needs. So we take your inflow, what's your cash coming in, take off your deductions and taxes. Then what are your needs? Your rent, utilities, all the things you absolutely have to have. And then after that, you have the chunk of discretionary funds left over, disposable income. Then we set the savings goals, the education savings, the retirement, and then what's left after that. And that is what gets allocated to that discretionary spending. Now, that's an ideal world, right? Like ideally, it would be that way. The reality is very different. Parents are busy, they're working, they're exhausted. And there are times when they're just going to spend money in panic mode because they need to solve an immediate problem, be that my kid's not sleeping, I need a sleep machine, yep, or be it, you know, I don't feel like making dinner, we're going to order Uber Eats. So there is a reality. So you need to have a buffer there. But I certainly like to at least have some kind of savings plan in place before you go and spend on all the other discretionary items.
Well, Anita, lots of food for thought. And like you, I wish I'd had that conversation even more clearly and more often when my kid was young, because there were places that in hindsight, I just wouldn't have spent. Thank you for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Anita Bruinsma is a financial coach with Clarity Personal Finance. And she joined us to talk about a piece she wrote for The Globe, headlined Five Places Parents Can Cut Costs Where Your Kids Won't Even Notice.